Good morning to everyone today. Hope you're having a great day today, and we're glad to see you in church this morning, that we might together worship the Lord. If you will, turn in the Word of God to Revelation chapter 15. We're going to be continuing our thoughts in the book of Revelation concerning the things that will be going on in the tribulation time, that seven-year period of time when the wrath of God is going to come upon the earth. Now, this could happen, as I've said many times, and we'll continue to remind everyone, before the tribulation, with all of its horror and judgments come, the Church of Jesus Christ, made up of all born-again believers in Jesus Christ, will be raptured out to be with the Lord. The Bible makes it clear we are not appointed to wrath. We're appointed to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, for example, that Jesus Christ is going to come back and receive us to himself. We're going to be raptured out, leave behind a world in chaos. They're going to experience the wrath of God for 7 years, the wrath of Satan and the wrath of man. All that will be going on for 7 years during the tribulation time. Now, we've already briefly looked at the seven seal judgments and what was going to happen. We also have looked at the trumpet judgments. But today we're going to be looking at the bowl or vial judgments of God, the last seven judgments of the 21 judgments that's to come upon the earth during the seven-year tribulation time. Now, remember in our study in the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday nights, we told about how God kept telling the Jews what he was going to do to them if they didn't repent of their sin. And of course, the Jews failed to listen to Jeremiah's preaching. And sure enough, because they wouldn't repent of their sin, God sent Nebuchadnezzar down to Jerusalem with his army. And they leveled the city and the temple and took the people back to Babylon for 70 years. Many people were killed. And it was great destruction. God said he was going to do it if you don't repent. And the people didn't believe God. All the religious leaders, they didn't think God would do that to them. They were his people, and this was his city and the temple. Oh, that was his beautiful place of worship. God wouldn't do that to them. But he did. He did. Why? Sin. Unrepented sin in their life as individuals and as a nation of people. They had religion, of course. They had religion, but they did not know the God of eternity, folks. Yeah. So what's going to happen? What's going to cause the tribulation to take place? Sin. Yeah. The sin of rebellion. The sin of pride, lust. The rejection of the Word of God. And the Son of God, who died on a cross for the sins of all the world. How many people today don't think they're going to be judged for their sin? Oh, we're just humans. And if there is a God, he loves us. And if there is a God, he wouldn't let anything horrible happen to us. That's how deceived people can be. And by the way, deception comes from the devil himself, who they're serving and don't realize it. Yes, church, better wake up today. Are you living for the Lord? Are you surrendered to the Lord? Are you being used of the Lord? If not, you need to get in step, get right with the Lord. He hates sin in our lives. Wouldn't it be a holy people and a godly people? Now, in Revelation chapter 15, the Apostle John, of course, we have said this, we'll say it again, was told to write down the book of Revelation. There is 12 times, I think it is, he was told to write what he saw. He saw many things in visions, and God spoke to him. And he wrote it down. Sometime it was by an angel. John recorded it. That's why we have it today. So we'll know about God's plan. We know about God's will. We know about how we can please God and serve God and one day live with our Lord for eternity in paradise. Okay, so let's be mindful of that today. We've come to church to learn. We've come to church to confess sin and to draw nigh to God. We've come to church to commit ourselves to our Redeemer who died that we might live. In Revelation 15, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. The apostles wrote, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Think about just the thought of God Almighty pouring out his wrath upon people, folks. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation time after the rapture of the church. God Almighty pouring out his wrath because of his anger against the sin of unrepentant men and women who refuse to accept his son as their savior, who died such a horrible death on Calvary that he might put away their sin. And yet they've ignored him, rejected him, denied him. And now the wrath of God is about to come upon them, folks. Okay, church, let's listen carefully what the Word of God says. And the Bible goes on and says that one of the four beasts gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and forever. One of the living beasts or creatures before the throne of God, that whose job was to all the time he was saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. One of these living creatures gave the seven angels the seven vials or bowls of the wrath of God, and one by one they would be sent to the world and upon the earth. They would pour out their bowl of wrath upon sinful, rebelling man. And God is going to remove all the lost people, all the sinners, all that would not accept his son. They're all going to be destroyed during the seven-year tribulation time. Think about that. We're talking about billions of people now. We're talking about billions of people that'll be destroyed. And it'll be during that confined of 7 years of tribulation. The reign of sinful man is coming to an end, we see in the book of Revelation. Now, this is all the future. This is going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen after we, the church, is gone. And but the reign of sinful man is coming to an end. For 6,000 years, man has ignored God. But God has not ignored man. Did you know God's keeping a record of everything you do, think, say? even your intentions? Did you know God's keeping a record of that in his books? Well, he is. He won't overlook anything. He's going to have it as it is. And we're going to all be judged one day. Do you understand that? Church folks, do you understand that? You're going to be judged one day. He's got a record of everything. And it's going to be revealed. And the Bible says that man has had his sinful way. He's done his sinful thing, but he made a mistake. He forgot about God. He forgot about God, who he is accountable to. Yeah, you are accountable to God. Every single person that lived in this world is accountable to God. We're living in his world. This is not our world. We are his creatures. This is his world. He owns everything. Man owns nothing. And he has set the rules. And you're not going to be able to change them. And neither am I. You understand that, church? You understand that? Well, we better understand that because it's true. It's true. The psalmist wrote many years ago in Psalms 2, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord." Think about that. "And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. And he that sitteth in the heavens shall life. The Lord shall have them in derision." Oh, man, think he's got it together. He thinks he's going to accomplish what he wants, do what he wants, and nobody's going to do anything about it. And you know what? We see that right now in our own country and all over the world. Well, our leaders today, they think they're going to get by with all that they're doing that God Almighty hates, folks. Laws they have allowed to be passed upon the people that's blasphemous to God. You think those leaders are going to get by with that? And the people that supported that, church friends and brothers and sisters today, God is aware these people are not going to get by with what they're doing. Oh, we wonder sometime, how much longer are they going to get by? Well, let me tell you this. Hey, the longer they get by, the higher the stack of their sin and more of the wrath of God upon them. And upon anyone else that's living without God. Yeah, you think about it. You think about it. Now, in Revelation chapter 16, beginning at verse 1, we see the bold judgments, the vile judgments of the wrath of God going to start be pouring out upon man, upon the earth. "I heard a great voice out of the temple," John writes, "saying to the seven angels with these seven bowls of wrath, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." Everything's done orderly. Everything's carried out orderly. God's a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. And the Bible says in verse 2, of chapter 16, "And the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there was a noisome and grievous sore upon the men, which had the mark of the beast upon them, which worshipped his image." Did you get that? Now, everybody that had the mark of the beast, that they had took his number, during the seven-year tribulation time, when this angel pours out his vial of wrath upon the earth, a noisome and grievous sore will come upon all these people. Painful sores, troubling sores, miserable, making them miserable. That'll be the wrath of God from angel number one upon all those that are following the Antichrist. Yeah. And then you look down in verse 3, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. Okay, he's got a different direction to carry out his bowl of wrath. The earth, the first one, it was upon the earth, upon the people. This second angel pours out his vial on the sea, the oceans. And what happens to the oceans? They become as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. All sea life died. Plant life, everything in the oceans die when this vial of wrath is poured out upon the oceans, and the oceans and seas become as the blood of a dead man. Now, how is the blood of a dead man? Well, it thickens. It quits flowing. And the oceans are going to become thick. And all sea life dies. All plant life dies in the ocean. And the oceans now, they're so useful in feeding the world. It's a great source of food. But now, it will be filled with rotten and stinking flesh. And oh, what an odor will be in the world from all this rotten flesh when this angel pours out his vial of wrath upon the oceans, and they become as the blood of a dead man, folks. Yeah, I tell you what, God means business. And think how gracious God is. God has forewarned for years. You see, we've had knowledge about this is going to happen now for nearly 2,000 years, ever since John wrote this down. We've had knowledge of what's going to happen, so men would know. And yet what has happened nearly 2,000 years after it's been written down? People have ignored it. People don't believe it. People don't think it'll happen. But it is going to happen. Just like the Word of God has said, folks, it's going to take place. And I'll tell you what, the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means. And if you're wise, you'll take it to heart and prepare yourself to meet a holy God one day, because you're going to meet him one day and you can't get out of it. You hear me? Yeah, look at verse 3. Actually, let's drop down to verse number 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers. Okay, we just saw the sea turn to blood. Now what's going to happen to the rivers and the fountains of water? And they became blood. Oh, look at there, folks. They became blood too. Undrinkable. People's going to be in bad shape when they don't have water to drink during the seven-year tribulation time, folks. It's going to get serious, isn't it? Don't you think it's going to get a little bit serious? God is able to back up what he says, folks. Nobody can't do anything about it. God can't lie. This is going to be carried out. And he's warning. And we're sharing these messages with you folks today to let you know And you can tell others. God means what he says, and he says what he means in this old book I have here. Yeah. And verse 5 says, I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments, because of the way people have killed God's saints, how they've killed God's prophets. Now they deserve to get blood to drink, because God is a righteous God, folks. He's a righteous God. He never does anything wrong. He always does what's right. And we should praise him for being such a God. And we should praise him that there is salvation and forgiveness of our sin in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Only in him are we acceptable. Only in him will we be received into his presence to spend eternity. Now look down in your Bible at verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And notice their reaction. Notice man's reaction to being scorched. They repented not to give him glory, even though they were being scorched alive with the burning heat of the sun. They refused to repent. They refused to humble themselves. They refused to change their ways, but were determined to rebel against God. And they determined they weren't going to give in to his demands, folks. Now, that's what sin does to a human's heart. It can make a heart so hard, so stubborn, so wicked, that man will even refuse to repent, no matter how dire his circumstances might be. Isn't that awful? Isn't that pitiful? Yeah, people just say, I'm not going to repent. I just don't believe it. I got my beliefs. Well, you could have your beliefs, but this old book here I got here is the only book of truth. And if you're not in line with believing it, you will be pitiful. You will be pitiful when you're scorched with fire from the heat of the sun. Now, I'm a country boy, and I worked out in the sun. I worked in the sun in the fields when you walked barefooted and the ground was so hard it would burn your feet. You could hardly stand it. You'd have to try to get up in the shade of a hill of tobacco to keep your feet from being so miserable, folks. I know a little bit about how hot the sun can get in the summertime. But boy, it's going to get worse than that during the tribulation time when people are actually scorched. Yeah. And yet they wouldn't repent of their sin. They wouldn't ask for mercy. No. They continue to rebel. How sad when man's heart becomes so wicked and evil. Well, in verse number 10, the Bible says, And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea of the beast, the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of all their deeds. All these things is happening to the people in the Antichrist's reign, and they still refuse to repent. They would not humble themselves. They would not call upon mercy from the Lord, folks. That's bad, folks. That's so sad. When God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Think about that. God wants people to be saved. He made it possible for everybody to be saved. And Jesus Christ paid for the sins of all the world when he died upon the cross. And God is satisfied with the debt of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And God has said that whoever will accept my Son, I'll accept you. I'll forgive you. I'll make you a new person. I'll allow you to live in glory for eternity. And yet, Satan deceives men out of their soul when we have the Word of God here before us, folks. Isn't that sad? Isn't that so sad, folks? Yeah. Well, in verse 12, the sixth angel poured his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. What water was in it? Remember, it is turned to blood. That the way of the kings of the east might be prepared, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Yeah, that's Satan's helper. Yeah, the old false prophet, a religious dude, folks. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Listen to what they're going to do. They're going out to the leaders of the world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Here's these demonic creatures going to cause the leaders of the world to gather together with their armies. For that last great battle, the battle of Armageddon. And the Bible says in verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he be naked and he see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. You know how many and how long have we heard about the Battle of Armageddon? When is Armageddon going to take place? The last war. Well, it's coming, folks. It's down the road, and we're drawing nigh. And verse number 12 here tells us of how that these unclean spirits are going to draw the leaders of the world with their armies together for the Battle of Armageddon, in which God Almighty is going to triumph, folks, over them. Amen. Yeah. And what a time that's going to be. They don't know they're heading for doom when God gets them all gathered down for that last great battle. And verse 17 goes on and says, the seventh angel then poured out his vial into the air, the last plague. And there was a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it's done. And there arose voices and thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake. Listen to this earthquake now, the effects of this earthquake. And such as was not since were men upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, the worst earthquake to ever take place, is going to take place during the tribulation when the seventh angel pours out his vial of wrath. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Did you get that? Look at all the big cities in the world. They're going to be flattened. And the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And the Bible says every island fled away and mountains were not found. Think about it. Islands disappeared and the mountains are leveled. Mountains are leveled, folks. Think about the great Smoky Mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains, the Alps, the Rocky Mountains, and other mountains in the world. They're leveled by this earthquake during the 7 days of 7 years of tribulation. And when this last plague is poured out upon this earth. Yeah. And the Bible goes on and says in verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, 80 to 100 pounds, blocks of ice falling out of heaven, down upon the earth, folks. You think about a block of ice, 80 pound to 100 pound, hitting the top of your house or any building. It'll be like bombs falling, folks. Folks, God means business. And man, he can't stop it. Man is helpless with all that he's accomplished with his nuclear weapons and powerful pieces of equipment that he has made, folks. Heavy-duty equipment. They can't stop God. You can't stop God. God's omnipotent. He accomplishes what he wants, and man is helpless before him. And so, when all this hail falls down on heaven, the Bible says, and men blaspheme God, cursing at God, reviling against God because of the plague of the hail. For the hail there was exceedingly great, folks. Boy, isn't that something? Here's old poor helpless man before his Creator, and God has warned him about this day, and poor old man has ignored it. And yet as he faces the consequences of his sin, he still refuses to repent. He refuses to call on God for mercy. And folks, how sad that is. Now, that's the last plague. But in Revelation chapter 17, we'll see the destruction of all the false religions. The Antichrist is going to destroy all the religions in the world. Yeah. You know why? Because he wants to be worshipped. He's controlled by Satan. And that's been the long desire of Satan throughout the ages, is to be worshipped. He tried to get Jesus to worship him. But Jesus would not be deceived and succumb to his temptations, folks. And so Satan is going to demand to be worshipped. And people that won't worship him will be put to death. And all religions will be done away with. So that he is the central force there in the last half of the 7 year tribulation time. But you know what? That ain't going to last too long, is it? Because we know that, as we see in our future message, God's going to take care of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And he's going to take care of them in due process, folks. God hates religion. Hell itself will be a religious place. Think of all the religions that'll be in hell, folks. None of them saved anyone. None of them could keep them out of hell. Only Jesus Christ can keep you out of hell. Only Jesus Christ died to pay for the sins of the world. And only by faith in Him, believing in Him, receiving Him as your Savior, will you ever miss hell. I'm telling you the truth today. You can believe what you want to. You can do what you want to. But the Word of God is going to be true. The Word of God is going true. Jesus said you got to be born again. You got to have a birth from heaven. You've been born into this world because of a man and woman coming together. And God gave life, your life. And now you need a second birth. You need a birth from heaven. How do you get that birth? Realizing you're a sinner. Realizing you're lost. Realizing only Jesus Christ can save you. He's the one that died on the cross. And if you'll humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm that sinner you died for. I want you to save me. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to live forever. I'll assure you, He'll save you. Baptism won't save you. Church membership won't save you. No denomination will save you, folks. You can't save yourself by living a good life. No, only Jesus saves. Yes, only Jesus saves. And I trust you'll trust Him and love Him and serve Him. And one day you'll live with Him and you'll be a very wise person. And may God speak to hearts. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share the Word of God with these, our people here today. Bless each one. Challenge hearts. If there's one here without Christ, deal with that heart. If there's one here that's wandered away into the world, Lord, we pray you convict them of sin. And may they repent, return to love you and serve you, and be used of you to help someone else know the grace of God and the salvation of the Lord that is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This we pray and ask in our Savior's precious saving name. Amen and amen.